So we're live here from the Pinksterlandagen with activists from Calais and Michael Solidarity. Special came over from the rainy shores of Calais. Calais and Michael Solidarity. Is there? How do you end up here?
How do we end up here? I'm from Calais. How do we end up here from Calais? It's live.
It's live.
Oh yeah, we came walking all the way from Calais.
Walking.
And you?
I'm going hitching all the way from Calais to here.
And what's happening in Calais right now?
In Calais right now there are many migrants gathering in Calais, and the most of the people are migration from all different countries, and the most who are in Calais, they want to go to England and they want to ask asylum there. And not only to England, but also people want to ask asylum to France. And they're all coming in Calais because Calais is the biggest harbour to England, and there is the best chance to smuggle yourself illegal to England. And people living there actually on the street are like all people without papers. If you don't have papers in Europe, you don't have any rights. So a lot of people are sleeping in the street, and every day there is police repression and violence on the migrants, chasing them, arresting them because they don't have papers, and trying to make the life so difficult as possible so they not want to be there. And because the mayor of Calais want to have the city migrant free.
So there's all the migrants come from the rest of Europe, they come to Calais to go to England. Why do they want to go to England?
There are people in Calais from all over the world, but many from Afghanistan, from Iran, from Kurdistan, from Palestine, and a lot from East Africa, from Sudan, also Eritrea, Somalia sometimes. And they're looking for a better life, for safety, or for a chance to live like more normally, or to work as well, I'm sure. And England, for many, it's usually to do with colonialism, the reasons people come to different countries. A lot of people have learnt English in school. They have school systems where people are still kind of the legacy of the British Empire. People often have like connections. They have family or they have friends living in England. They also have an idea which, for better or worse, they believe they're taught in school about Britain as being a country of welcome, a country of safety, a country of asylum. Of course, when they get there, that may not necessarily be the case, but that's what people have, this dream, this vision of Europe, of Britain, but also of all of Europe, as somewhere where they can be safe and they'll be welcomed. Unfortunately, when they get to Europe, and particularly when they get to Calais, they find out that's not necessarily the case.
Why is there that much repression in Calais, and how does this repression show?
I think, as my comrade said, the repression is basically, I think, a systematic policy by the French and British governments and the governments all over Europe to drive people away, to make people not want to come and move to Europe and to England. And they think that by making people's lives hell, by making people's lives impossible, the message will get back to their communities, to their countries, don't bother trying to get to England, because if you get here, things are not going to be nice at all.
So I see the slogan on your T-shirt says "No borders, no nation." I mean, what does that mean? Is it like a world without borders? How would that work? Like if there were no borders, like wouldn't like all people from less fortunate countries come here and take all the jobs, and would not the economy collapse? Is it not better for us to have this borders?
Like if you were saying from the capitalist view, yeah, it's better to have borders, but do we want to have this capitalism, and why people are migrating to Europe? Like a lot of reason people are migrating to Europe. Europe is a lot of time the problem in their countries. We're taking all their food, we're taking a lot of work and people we're taking to Europe, and we create a lot of problems as well in other places, and that's why and part of them is the reason they're coming to Europe. And I think it's really egoistic to say like, they're coming to Europe, they're going to take our money, our houses, our work, so that's why we're going to close the border. I think everybody has the same rights, and that's why I think it's better to share and to all have a bit of less high-profile life than...
But cannot that be solved with, for instance, sending aid to developing countries or this? Why do they have to come here? Because that is going to be a very disbalanced situation.
I think first of all, like even within capitalism, I think it's not true that immigration is bad for economies of Europe. I think most of the migrants that I know living in England and in Europe probably work very hard and create wealth and create new things rather than taking. They actually there creating and building stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think as was said, it's true. Capitalism probably needs borders, or at least it can use borders. It uses borders as means of dividing us and ruling us. We live in a world where corporations from Europe or from the First World are free to move around and move their capital around and move to other countries to exploit and oppress them and take resources and exploit workers on low wages. But people are not free to move around to make their lives better. I think, yeah, if we could bring down the borders, if we could destroy the borders, which is what we, of course, want to do, it would lead to a world where people would have to find ways of organizing their lives for themselves and find ways of equalizing, hopefully, the wealth around the world, rather than being preyed on more easily by these divisions that are created by capitalism and by states to keep us hating and fearing each other.
And what does Kalermor Solidarity do as groundwork? What kind of action do you take to get this view?
And the practice of the repression in Calais is essentially about people are living on the streets, or people are living in squats, people are living in camps in the bush, basically, in what they call jungles, which are kind of rough camps of tents and plastic sheeting. And in squats, which are not like the squats, you beautiful squats you have here in Holland, but are squats that are basically attacked and raided every day, every night by the police. They come, they destroy people's houses, they arrest people walking in the street, they beat people up, they do things like just nasty everyday repression, like we've seen, pouring away people's water supply, stealing people's possessions, contaminating people's food, you know, just beating people physically to keep up this level of everyday suffering. What we try to do is we try and intervene where we can to prevent police attacks. And if we can't prevent them, at least to try and document them, record them, to tell the world and kind of spread, to stop that repression being made invisible by the state, but make it more visible so that at least they can't hide what they're doing, and encourage other people to come and show solidarity, including the local people of Calais, to show solidarity and not put up with that constant repressive environment.
In Holland, as well as in France, as in most European countries, we have detention centers where they put illegal immigrants and try to deport them. Why the people that are being arrested on a daily basis in Calais, why are they not sent back to their countries?
Yeah, like in France in the moment, they would like to deport a lot of people, but like in Calais, there are also a lot of people from Sudan and Eritrea, and in the moment they're not allowed even to deport people. And in France, they actually don't like that a lot of people asking asylum. So a lot of time in Calais, people get arrested and they ask, like, you want to ask asylum to France? No, I don't want to ask asylum to France. They don't put fingerprints and they kick them on the street, like, okay, go as fast as possible, go away here. And actually they're hoping that people go away and ask on other places asylum. Like in a lot of countries in Holland, if the police catch you, you get arrested, you get an detention. But in France, especially in Calais, sometimes people get for 2 weeks in detention. But it's only to punish them because they were trying in a train to cross to England, and you get higher punishment if you try it by train.
Yeah, because I can imagine, I mean, I've been going to England and I go by boat, but there's very strict border controls. How do people try to go to England?
Yeah, they're very tough. The border between Calais and England is one of the most fortified stretches of water in Europe. It's not the only one. There are other places around the European borders that Europe is trying to police and control more and more, but Calais is one of the worst. But people will always find ways. A lot of people, they sneak into lorries, freight trucks that go onto the ferries. People in the past, a lot used to get into the trains going through the tunnel, but that's very difficult now. People get onto buses sometimes, very dangerously. Things like holding onto the bottom of buses, and sometimes people fall off and get killed. Or You know, it's regular problems of people being injured and killed trying to cross, but their desire, their thirst for freedom and for making a better life is strong enough that they will keep trying. People try every night, day after day after day, and eventually, if they're lucky, they will make it.
That sounds very dangerous. Nobody ever dies or gets seriously injured?
Yeah, a lot. Like the last year, I think quite some people died and a lot of people get injured. Like every day people are coming back with broken foot, with broken arms. At the moment there's a small child from Eritrean hospital because he tried to jump by a train. He fell off and he broke his whole shoulder and his leg. And there's like a lot of broken injuries, but also sometimes really heavy injuries that people have really big head wounds. And sometimes, unfortunately, people die. A few months ago, one Afghan guy, he died because he was under the truck and he was a bit too close by the turning of, like, the truck has two parts and he was under it and then the truck make a really straight
turn
and then he crashed into the connection system and he died.
And do people also die from police violence? Or?
Yeah, it's also like they're... Like in the news, like also, I think it's 1 year ago, when a woman, she died because police was chasing her and she didn't want to get arrested and they were chasing her all the way and she tried to cross the highway and the police was chasing her by the highway and she crossed and then a car hit her and she died. And now the police is saying, no, we didn't do anything, but because they were chasing all the way, the only escape which she saw was the highway. And this happened more often, I think 4 months ago, with two Palestinian guys were chasing by the police and then they saw like a pot, like a hole where you can go into the water.
A sewer.
And they went inside and the police was chasing them with dogs and they were afraid and they went with four of them, they went deeper in the hole. Two stayed by the beginning with two young guys, they just arrived in Calais, they were really scared and they went really deep. And after 1 hour, two came out, but the other two, they didn't come out. They tried to find for 48 hours, like, all kind of rescue workers tried to find them, and they didn't find them, and probably they fell in the hole, and the hole goes finally in the water.
What kind of people take this journey? You told me before where they came from. Is it only young men coming there? Or?
It's many are young men. I mean, particularly there's a lot of young boys from Afghanistan, often like teenage, well, even younger. Like we see children like as young as, you know, 12 from Afghanistan traveling on their own, and even younger children traveling with their brothers, for example. People have had very, very hard lives. You can imagine the journey they've had all the way from Africa across the Sahara Desert, across the Mediterranean Sea, or from Afghanistan, traveling all that way. People have had very, very hard journeys. A lot of them in Calais are young boys and young men, but there are also families with children. There are women and whole families who come too. Yeah, some older people too. I mean, it's a very, very difficult road, but yeah, if people feel they need to do it, they will take those risks and that suffering to get here.
How many people are there now in Calais? How many migrants?
150 something. It's difficult to say, like in one big squad in a moment, like more than 80 people, and then you have in the jungles, so I think around 150.
Yeah, somewhere 150, 200 at the most at the moment. Yeah. The number's certainly gone down over the last year. I mean, even a year ago there were like at least twice as many people.
Yeah, I mean, before, 1.5 year, 1,200. Yeah. It was like a really big jungle with all people, pastures from Afghanistan, and when this jungle gets destroyed, a lot of people, like the amount of people, get really down, like 1,000 less than 1 year ago.
Where did these people go?
I think one thing is people seem to have spread out more along the coast. A lot of the Afghans will have gone to try in other ports, like in Belgium as well, and other parts of France. There are also probably are, in the last year or so, less people trying to get to England, at least for the moment. There might be a number of reasons behind that. I mean, it's quite speculation, but probably something to do with economic crisis as well. And people, maybe the repression also is working to some extent, and people have heard the stories about how hard it is to get across and how difficult it is even when they get to England. To some extent, yeah, I think it's true. The repression is working and it is putting people off not everyone, but some people are being put off trying to get to Europe and the UK. But then again, there are more people, there are other people will start coming. Like, it's a kind of function of the different wars and conflicts in the world. Like, there are less people coming now from Afghanistan, but we were probably starting to see now a lot more people from North Africa.
Tunisia are coming now. Yeah. They're now really slow. They're coming also people from Tunisia, from Libya. And for them it's actually really difficult because you're upset already. We're not going to give asylum to people from Tunisia and Libya. And I talk quite with some people and they're like, yeah, like on the moment we cannot stay in our country and Europe don't accept us, but this is our only option to, like in Tunisia and Libya, a lot of us will die. And in Europe we will not die. We live at the moment as dogs on the street. But it's better than to be in our own country. And for sure, if it gets better in our country, we want to go back. It's like a lot of people, they think people come for their pleasure to Europe. But if you talk to the people, everybody's saying, if I get the possibility, if it's safe in my country, if I don't get killed in my country, the first thing what I was going to do is going back to my country.
Yeah, because it sounds like a very, very difficult humanitarian situation over there. What is the day-to-day life of a migrant there? How do they get their food? How does it work?
It's hard. It's a very, very hard life. And people, if they're lucky, they get to England in a few weeks or months. The longer they stay there, the more you see people getting depressed and tired and just worn out by it. There are some charities that give people food, for example, give them very bad food. And the food, there's this place called, we call the food distribution place, where people are fed twice a day, very basic, repetitive, horrible meals in what looks like a prison yard surrounded by barbed wire, where people have to queue up and are kind of shouted at and pushed into line. Even amongst the charities, there seems to be a lot of racism and like authoritarianism. It's quite nasty to see. People are treated, they're treated not even like second-class citizens, but like people who don't have any value, any kind of rights whatsoever, even by the charities. And then people will try and cook for themselves, for example, or take water back to their squats. But then, as I say, the police attack and they destroy everything they find, like even cooking pans they'll destroy or contaminate, so that just to make people's daily life as hard as possible.
So there's not much in the news about it, of course. In the migration issue is a really upcoming issue in contemporary politics and in media. And thanks to the recent no border camps we had over the year, we heard about the situation in Greece and Lesbos. There was also, I believe, a no border camp in Calais. One of the biggest arguments is that the migrants come here for economic reasons, but also that it's mainly in hands of the mafia, of human smugglers. How does a journey from, let's say, Afghan boy to England, how does it work? How much does it cost? How long does it take?
I know a lot about the Sudanese travel, and from Afghan I know like the small boys, a lot of times like the old family, they collect all the money they have and they give to this Afghan boy. And they from Afghanistan, the first country where they
usually I think have to go through Iran and then through Turkey. Well, Pakistan, a lot of them live even in refugee camps in Pakistan, and then we'll go through Iran, then through Turkey into Greece. Usually
how do they travel?
Different routes, I think, but people are often smuggled in as well in lorries or with different stops along the way.
And this cost a lot of money. Like, I know one Afghan boy, he told me he had to pay 4,000 euro to cross from Iran to Turkey. And this is done not really in a nice, pleasant travel. You have to go under a truck. And the mafia is really, really tough. They're not doing to help people, but to earn money. And if they're coming in Greece, a lot of people, or they try to climb under by the truck, and or if they have money, they pay to the smugglers. But they are really, really difficult and really hard journeys, and a lot of people die. Like people who are coming from Africa, and they want to go from Libya most of the time to Greece, they have to go on small boats, and these boats are totally overcrowded, and a lot of time this boat sinks because there are too much people, or the control in the sea is so hard that they get stopped, and then the boat don't have enough power to go back, and the boat sinks. So many people before they come by Europe, they die already into the sea. And only if you want to go from Sudan to Libya, there have to cross the desert. And sometimes there for 20 days with one bottle of water in a truck with thousands of people actually fighting for a place in this truck. And yeah, and for women it's even, most of them even more hard. They pay their travel by to be prostitutes for the driver for the mafia. And there happened really terrible things on their way. And I have so many respect for the people who are actually coming in Calais. They make really worse travel.
And do you also hear from people that, that make the crossover?
Yeah, a lot of people, like, this is a border, a lot of us, we living in the communities, you get really good relationships, and a lot of time people if they're in England, they're so enthusiastic, they start calling you and screaming that they're in England, and on the moment quite some people getting papers, and then they, a lot of us just still have contact with migrants who are there, but also migrants who get in detention in England because they have fingerprints in Europe or they get deported.
Yeah, that's often the saddest thing is when you make friends with people in Calais and then you hear they get to England and then they claim asylum in England, and first thing that happens is they're put in detention centre in England because they found under the European system what they call the Dublin Treaty, if they find fingerprints from another European country, they send them back to that European country because they say you have to claim asylum in the first European country you arrive in. So they don't send any more people from England to Greece because even the British government recognises that Greece is just so horrific in its treatment of asylum seekers. But for example, if people are found, were caught in Italy and fingerprinted in Italy and then they're found in England, then they're sent back to Italy and then they have to start all over again the journey.
And you see now that the recent movement is that they try to fortify the borders even stronger, especially after the Arabic revolutions. A lot of people come from Tunis. The Schengen has been partly dissolved. There's like internal border control. How do you predict this future? Is there going to be a time that it's going to be impossible? Nobody's going to try anymore to come here?
I mean, obviously the politics of immigration continue to be this big issue and big scare story that the media and the governments use to kind of keep us in fear, if you like, and keep us divided, I think. But this has been going on for a long time and it will continue to go on, and they can't stop the movement of people, to be honest. Like, however much they fortify the borders, however much they try and turn us against each other, they can't stop people moving. People will move and people will get across. And yeah,
what can people do that hear this message and want to support migrants? What can they do in their daily life?
Well, one thing people can do is come to Calais. We we always need people to come to Calais. We've had, since the No Border Camp, which was June 2009, 2 years ago. We set up, after that, No Border set up when it decided to have a permanent presence in Calais with an office, with a kind of resources center for activists there. That's been going on 2 years. We've always had activists working in Calais, working with the migrant communities. But we always need new people. The more people we have there, the stronger we can be, the more we can do, the more arrests we can prevent, the more police brutality we can prevent, the more we can show solidarity with people there. But also, I mean, as well as Calais, I mean, there's lots of things people can do back in wherever we live. There is so much that we can do to build up more of a No Borders network and support for migrants in all our countries.
And where can we find information about Calais?
You can go from website,
calaismigrantsolidarity.wordpress.org.
Okay, thank you and good luck.
Thank you.